irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, and welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host this morning, Marvin Smith. My partner, buddy, good friend that we co-host the show together, Alan, is not with us this morning. I'm going to share maybe a little sidebar here of some information that a lot of times our listeners don't really understand what we do or what the organization does at West Shield Adolescent Service. And, you know, we get involved with runaways. We deal with, you know, school districts and special ed cases, but basically around crisis intervention in teens. And Alan got a call this morning, and kind of interesting, and, you know, gets woken up and kind of frantic. He has an attorney on the call and a father, and what happened, the young lady, the father, has a daughter who's about, I think she's 15, and basically she was kidnapped, okay? And so in the process, you know, he's trying to unravel what's going on, and we find out that the mother who has had no contact with this child for years, the father had sole custody. Anyway, the mother, the father was having some problems with the child, not going to school, some drug issues. So this is, you know, starting to turn into a crisis intervention case where this particular young teen may need to be put into placement, some type of behavioral program placement to, you know, address these needs and these issues. And these are some of the things that we get involved with. We will actually take these teens or escort them to these particular programs and do short-term counseling in the process. But in this particular case, the mother, because the child was having some difficulties, who the mother has had no contact for years. Calls the father and says, "I'd like to see our daughter." And he goes, you know, because I know she's having a few issues and just want to come out. I'm going to be staying with my sister, you know, in the local nearby city. And I just want to, you know, like to see her for a day or so and just spend some time with her and find out what's going on. Now, remember, this mother has had no contact with this daughter for years. So, long story short, the father doesn't hear anything. So after a few days, he actually goes to the nearby city where the mother is supposed to be staying with a sister. He goes to the address, and there's no address. It's a false address. It's not even real. So now the father, in panic, is trying to figure out what's going on. So they have an attorney who has dealt with these kind of, I guess, the divorce and, you know, custody suits. And we find out that the mother has taken the child out of the state. And so now this is where Alan gets called in with West Shield investigation to actually figure out where the child is and basically track that child down. So I share that to say these are some of the things that we get involved with. You know, no day is the same day. It's always something new. And it's always, I can't say exciting, but it always keeps us on our toes moving forward. So and that being said, you know, each week we will bring you guests on this show that will inspire you, educate, and in some cases outright entertain you while bringing answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. We will address issues such as I just stated earlier, locating runaway teens, family crisis intervention, looking at building self-esteem in teens, and dealing with addictions and much, much more. With each of us having over 30 years of experience working with families in crisis, we've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields, and authors sharing valuable stories and helpful information who are working to keep you, me, and everyone who's involved here, family, mentally, spiritually, and physically sound. Making this our goal, helping to make this place, this world, a better place for all. We will continue to bring you some of these incredible, talented, and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Our topic today is igniting your passion and potential in work, home, and life. I mean, that's, listen to that. Igniting your passion and potential in work, home, and life. Does anybody need their passion ignited? Does anybody need to be ignited for just wherever they're at in life? Well, our guest today is an author who has written, I'm looking at numerous books, and she is a holistic woman's healthcare provider with a master's degree in physical therapy, advanced training in multiple bodywork techniques, with the ability to read energetic patterns of the body. Tammy Lynn Kent, founder of Holistic Pelvic Care, maintains a private practice and an international provider training program in Portland, Oregon. Tammy has published 3 books: Wild Feminine, Mothering Your Center, and Wild Creative, which we'll be talking about today. She made it a point to tell us about her she's a very proud mother of 3 beautiful sons. She made it a point. So, you know, when we bring her on, we're going to have to talk about that one. That's, you know, I think everybody should be proud parents if they have kids. I'm a proud parent. I'm a proud parent. Yes. You know, and we all should be proud parents when we have kids, right? Right. I think so. And she has a right to point that out. Right. Okay. Tammy, we want to welcome you to Answers to the Family. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Oh, Marvin, thank you so much. Thank you. What a profound entry point to come into. And also that story about Alan, too. I just want to send out love and blessings to him on his journey with that family.
Yes, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, I don't know. Our kids today, our teens today, and we start talking about parenting, there's so many things that are just, you know, they say the environment is becoming more of a parent than our parents are, because, you know, even as parents, we have to compete with the environment now because of all the social media and kids just trying to, you know, we always talk about the terrible teens trying to find themselves. And as I said,
absolutely,
you being a mother of 3, a proud mother, maybe you could talk about a little bit about motherhood.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing I always say, my life as mother is one of the most important things I do. And I think that's a way of honoring that place that all parents hold. In my case, mother, which is unique from father. And I honor that role because it helps me stay strong in that place. And I feel like if I honor that and I stay strong and I value that, my children will orient to that place with me. And when I think of mother, I think of not only just myself as a mother, but I think of that place of caretaking, of inner nurturing, of emotional intelligence,
yes,
of being present. And if I hold that as strong and important, I know that my children, and in my case, boys that will become men, they will join me there, and then
yes,
they will have that rooted solidly in themselves.
That's good. That is good, Tammy. And you said a word that I think is underrated and not overrated. I don't think it's stated enough, and I think we need to implement it more. I think it needs to be part of the fabric of society. And as you said, emotional intelligence.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about, you know, intelligence, you know, IQ, but then I think we need to really start looking at this whole EQ part of life and balance. Maybe you might want to, maybe because you touched on it, maybe a couple points on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of the reasons I wrote Wild Creative.
Okay.
Was I felt like myself as a student, when I had to go and make a career and figure my life out as a young person, I was very grade oriented. And I think that the educational system gets us focused on grades. How can I get that A? What can I do? Which sets up a lot of competition and also memorization of facts. It doesn't go into that deeper aspect of self that really makes a good community.
Yes.
You know, if I'm trying to compete for my grade, then I don't really want you to get a good grade. You know, it sort of sets up this divisive nature, which I think ultimately is detrimental to self and detrimental to community. And so as I've reflected on that and sort of healed from that emphasis in my own self, being a very grade-motivated student and kind of going to that high achievement level, I broaden out into more of that creative side, which is really the other side of the brain, you know, that The left side of the brain is the one that tracks those grades. I want to have that line of where I'm going.
Right.
And the right, and then the right side of the brain is more the whole aspect of person, whole aspect of life, whole aspect of community. And I think if we're overemphasizing that one part in all of our young people or ourselves, we're missing on the thing that is going to help us wake up and really solve the problems that we're in right now. And certainly for my sons, as I started looking at where I had come from and what I valued that helped me create my own business and my life that could allow me to be a present mother, I started looking for them and trying to de-emphasize that, not to, they still need that discipline and that focus, but broaden out into more the creative vector of that left and right brain balance.
Right.
Well, so they could be whole.
Yeah, and I think you're hitting the nail right on the head. I am master certified in emotional intelligence. And, when we start to look at the things that we deal with in education, especially more the primary and, primary education, it's not even, I think when you look at rote learning, I think in the earliest stages, like, kindergarten 1 through 3, it's important to because you're wiring. You're trying to get the right patterns connected. But then after a certain point, you start to look at this creative side, which in education hasn't changed in over 100 years. And what happens, that creative side of it starts to, we lose it. It dissipates.
Right.
And, one thing, if we look at the real world scenario, and we're trying to prepare kids or teens or these young adults for the real world, then what they're learning in school is not even it's not even mirrored to what it is in corporate America.
They're two different worlds.
I'm going, that's my pet peeve. I am, I'm an advocate of education reform. I'm involved for the last 15 years. I've been involved in, charter schools and development and looking at how we can be very creative in how we deliver content. I like this whole thing about brain-based learning but there's so many people so rooted in the old ways. They just don't want to move. And unfortunately, it's hurting a generation of kids coming up.
Yeah, especially because a lot of the linear tracks have dissolved. The corporate careers and whatnot are no longer lifetime careers.
Yes.
You need creative skills, and you need more ability to communicate with others. I think there is more of a model towards consensus, which if you've only learned to get the grade, it's really hard to know how to work with other people.
Exactly.
And, I'm so curious, what kinds of things did you study in your emotional, in sort of that mastery that you're talking about? What kinds of things did you learn?
Oh, man, it's, I looked at, it was some of the things I was able to glean from it. It wasn't really about getting the right answer. It was, looking at deep into myself. And really trying to understand, have more of a sense of understanding more than anything else. It wasn't always right or wrong. Trying to make sense out of something. Think through the process. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be wrong. What?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong? Wait a minute. And after being a professional athlete, you kind of like it's everything is very definitive, yes and no. But there are some great things I did learn too as a professional athlete is that, being able to visualize, being able to focus, pick up those skill sets. And then you put that together with those, we call them in education, the soft skills or those executive functioning skills, which are so needed because if we're going to compete on the global marketplace. And America has always been the land of creativity.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we're going to create ourselves right out of creativity.
Right. Well, that's a great example, Marvin. And it's, so with all of my boys, I'm sort of looking at it through a creative lens. What brings their creative energy to life, and what are they really passionate about? And my middle son is very sports oriented. They all have sort of an interest in sports, which I think is somewhat can be the male energy works really well with sports. But what I'm doing with him is he's really working on some of the things you said, and he plays soccer, but with visualizing, with working on as a team, with sort of processing the whole, he looks at patterns on the field. He's always setting up plays. And then I'm counterbalancing that competitive drive to try to help them round that out, and really talking to them about, to him about, you know, it's okay not to make that goal. It's okay when you miss that pass, and helping them try to soften and expand the skill set he's gaining. So I think one way we can, as parents, work with kids is understand that sometimes things that, like you were saying, the sport can really give you a lot of gifts, and then you're broadening out from that. You know, how do you take that and then fit it into a model where it's more whole?
Right, right, which is good. Yeah, this, it's just interesting. This is a great topic. And creativity, it's, you know, I'm always under this mindset that it takes collective minds coming together, great minds coming together to solve complex problems. And no one person can, and that's why it's collaborative. And when we can understand, you know, we can get away from race, color, creed, and all these issues that divide and separate, and bring just intelligent, bright minds together for the common good, for the common good of what's good for all. You know, all of a sudden, I call it the supernatural, this magic starts to happen, and things change. And it's just trying to, you know, get to that. To that point, in my life, I had to come to this crossroad in life, and you know, being involved after playing football, I was involved in. I was, you know, working in corporate America. I was, you know, I graduated from college with honors, and you know, I was destined to kind of climb the corporate ladder. And I was in that environment in research and development, Tammy, and I just had this epiphany one day and said, there has to be more to life, you know. And I pulled back, and it was just rigor. And I pulled back, and I asked the question, and I said, "What do I do from here?" And part of the epiphany was, you know, I want to do. Well, going back to my personal mission statement now is adding value to another person's life. You know, so if I can, I tell people now, there's no need to, I don't have a lot of friends. I have a lot of associates, but friends means I'm able to impart something in you. You're able to impart in me, and we're able to benefit one another by being frankly truthful. Because sometimes the truth doesn't feel good, and true friends can speak truth. And you grow from knowing those things when people are willing not to patronize you. To tell you the truth about self. And I think as a society, we run from that. We don't want to deal with those issues. And we have a narcissistic society that is basically, in this social media doesn't help. It's all about me.
I think, I know, and there's the good questions about me and then the not so good questions about me, you know, and there's that me that comes from scarcity. So, you know, what can you give me kind of versus, when you say that you ask yourself the question, that makes my heart sing, because I think not enough people do that, where when you get on those trajectories that are kind of linear and you're just the next step and the next step and the next step, that the good part of me, of what am I doing with my life? What am I here for? What am I offering? Is this how I want to live?
Right.
Those questions also need a me involved in it, but it's sort of the service, you know, what is my path? What is my purpose? What am I doing here? And I think that being able to ask oneself the question is if I could have all my sons do that, I would feel like I had succeeded as a mother, that they could pause and reorient and say, you know, there's got to be more. What am I doing? And pausing and asking that positive me question, that's a success.
Well, I know as a parent, you know, we laid this foundation. And I can say that, you know, I can honestly say your boy is going to grow up to be some awesome young man, because the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And if they have that foundation as a setup, even though we have to, and I tell my wife the same thing, we got to let them go through the process. We can't do it for them. And my wife, you know, she wants to save them sometime before going through it. I said, they're not going to learn the lesson.
I know. I think that's the mother. You're right. So true.
You got to let them go through it. You know, and as a mother, it's hard. You said, well, okay. You know, but, you know, life lessons. And it's those mistakes. And if we learn them young, then as we get older, when there are those, I call them those defaults or those mistakes, they're not as detrimental. And if we, I look at now, today in my life, I look at every time I make a mistake, and sometimes I get scolded by my wife, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. I go, yeah. I said, but just think what I just learned. Wow.
Right.
I've learned so much. I'm embracing the fault.
Right. I think that's when you look through a creative lens, you're looking more at a whole picture. And so that's one of the things I'd like to offer to the conversation, and why I wrote, why I spent the time writing Wild Creative. It's in my practice. This really shifts everything in when I work with people one-on-one, when I work in my own community, when I look for myself and I look as mother for my children. If we start looking through a creative lens, there really aren't any mistakes, because it's all about, what are you learning?
Right.
How are you growing? What are you sharing?
Yes. Well, then let me ask you this question as we're going down this track. And, well, what do you mean by creative, by wild creative? I mean, as you wrote the book, so.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the way I use wild, and it comes from my first book, Wild Feminine. I'm a women's health PT at my root, so I work in women's health and specifically in the female body. And what I noticed first off was women had a lot of shame with their bodies, and so I started playing with the language. And when I got into the more anatomical language, sometimes women shut down. And so I started working more with the poetic. I'm also a storyteller. I love to write stories and think in stories. I love the way it accesses that creative part. So I started playing with the language when I was referencing the body. And the word that came up again and again was wild, and wild feminine. And what I mean by that is like a beautiful place in nature. So the essence of wild in the earth, when we go to a place, particularly that hasn't been disturbed, that has that original beauty, and it's kind of breathtaking, and we just stand in quiet reverence with it, that's the kind of wild I'm talking about. And what I found is we all have this within our own bodies, because we're connected to that place, that sacred wild place, but we may have forgotten it at various levels depending on our relationship with our body. So that's where I started using wild feminine. And then when I came to write Wild Creative, I just thought again about that connection to that sort of deeper inspiration, with that kind of awe moment when you just are almost speechless, you're just in the pure presence of it. And to me, again, that has to do with that wild, that earth connection within that expands beyond the limitation.
Right, right.
And we take those labels off, take those boxes off, and you are bigger than you could have imagined. And that is because you're part of that sacred that we all belong to.
Yes, that's good. I mean, it's interesting. Not interesting, that's good. I mean, I'm sitting here with a big smile on my face. I have very few friends. I have a lot of associates. But I have a friend in Georgia. He's just a great guy and great friend of mine. And he always calls me Wild Man. Every time, how's it going, Wild Man? Wild Man, I go. And, I come to terms for that to mean, he says, you're the type of individual, you just go for it. You don't, you see something in front of you, there's no reservation. Yeah. You just, even though the reservations are there, you just go after it. And it's like.
You're courageous.
Yes. And they go, he said, I admire that. I'm like, my attitude is, well, what else is there left? I mean, life is short, then you die.
Yeah.
Like.
Amen to that. I think that's beautiful what you just said, and I have a very fond place for the male energy, just because I have, not only I work with women, but then I have a household of males.
Okay.
And what I've really come to love is that go for it kind of spirit, where that to me that is also the wild beauty that I witnessed in my son in different ways. But I'll just speak about my oldest son. He has that kind of nature too. He goes to the forefront. He's gotten into surfing lately. He goes out on that wave. He goes for it. He takes it to that edge, and he's just in complete beauty when he does it. Spirit shining. It's just so beautiful. And I think also it can be metaphorical, though, like any man that goes into the emotional realm, like you have, where you're really delving into it. I think I use that with my boys a lot. It's courageous to feel. It takes courage to cry. Mm. And that's another aspect of a man using that wildness of coming into the range, maybe where people have forgotten.
Right. Yeah, because, it was always that old attitude, hey, men don't cry. That mentality. And we have found out over years, and it's, the temperament and makeup. At given times, there are tears, and it's okay. Yeah. It's releasing, something deep inside. It doesn't mean that, we use the term, he's a titty baby, or he's a little cry baby. He's,
Exactly.
You know, and especially if we know we call him a man's man, you know, that mentality.
Right.
And I've seen some of the best, some of the toughest guys, yep. you know, on the gridiron and basically go, you know, something just you lose a game and it was a heartbreaker and you see them I laid it all out. Out there. And this was the end result. We lost. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a heartbreaker.
You feel. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that takes the most courage. And usually those are the strongest men, meaning they're whole. They feel safe crying. You know, it takes real courage to hold space for that place inside.
Right.
And I think, you know, I certainly, as a mom, I think that one of the places that starts is in the family. And it really is important for all those who have sons to encourage them to be emotionally expressive and for it to be safe and encouraged. And I've had to, with three boys, I've had to really talk about it and sort of, you know, talk about those things you're talking about where we shut it down or it gets shut down, you know, don't be a baby. And, you know, I'll just step in and say, you know, we love babies and it's okay. It takes courage to cry. And just those little statements over time really add in. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they'll be better men for it.
Right. And then as a result, when you learn to, when you start to understand your emotions, when you start to understand, you know, who you are, that passion, then it's, everything's in, you know, it's control. I mean, you're not just your emotions are not all over the place. It's rightfully, you know, things are shown at an appropriate time. It's okay. Hey, it's all right. You know, and, you know, which takes me to my next question. What are the masculine and feminine aspects of creativity?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we relate to one another? I mean, you know, because we say men are more logical, women are more emotional, and I think over time in society and through society, I mean, I think men are wired differently, but you know, where's the balance? And, you know, there's a balance.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I can answer it in kind of two ways.
Okay.
One is the gender, the male-female, but let's start just with one person first. So in each person, there are feminine and masculine aspects, and there are feminine and masculine aspects to creativity. So the reason I break these things down is so we can understand maybe where we've let go of ours a little bit. So the masculine, when it's not balanced by the feminine, it becomes more the linear taskmaster. So it's kind of like what we were talking about, grades. So anybody, male or female, that gets overly grade-focused has a high-drive masculine without much access to the feminine because mm-hmm. the masculine is more linear, more driven, and without the balance of the feminine can be out of balance. You know, it can be like, I'm only about these grades, for example, and that is male or female. I went to UC Berkeley, and I was in the biology department, and I was surrounded by pre-med students.
Yes.
So I saw a lot of this kind of drive, you know, and that doesn't make for a very whole person or a whole environment or a very good doctor.
Right.
Either.
Well, and on the other hand, I recall when I was in corporate America, I could see, you know, there were very few women at the top. And it was like this, it was this male dominated environment. And so all the women that I saw going up the ranks, they almost lost their femininity to be this, so they could fit in and be that taskmaster, you know, to be a CEO of a corporation and not be feminine. And I go, wait a minute, something's wrong.
Right.
You know, a woman should still be able to be a woman. She's still smart. She could still, you know, have oversight.
But it's a real loss. And so that's why, like for me, myself, I really claim mother because mother is part of that feminine realm. You know, so the feminine, if we talk about the feminine aspects of creativity, I do think of it as more the inner self. So can I nurture and cherish my inner self, my inner life, my connection to the divine, and not let it just be about the linear focus? Can I look at my whole life? Can I look at my purpose? You know, so I think of it, I think of feminine as the raw material of the inspiration, that raw matter that comes in, and it's that inspiration to then take it to something. And so the beautiful marriage of those two would be, I'm in touch with what inspires me, I'm in touch with what brings me to life, and that would be the feminine, and then I'm going to make it into a form. And I think you're a beautiful example of this, Marvin, with what you've done, where you asked that question, you were on a masculine track, a linear track, and then you kind of said, well, what is driving me, what am I doing? Then you started looking at the education system, and you started getting inspired differently, and so then you created different solutions for that. You know, to me, that's a reawakening of the feminine inspiration, and then it's making new structures that help others be more whole.
That's good. Okay.
You know, so that's an example to me. And but then also the genders, too. I do think I spend quite a bit of time with understanding this, because there are feminine ways of being and there are masculine ways of being. And women have more general feminine qualities and men have more masculine qualities overall.
Right.
And if we appreciate and respect that, then we're not critiquing each other for the way that we are.
Right. And I think, I really believe, I think, I would say that I think, and I really believe that when I look at all the work that I've done with teens and kids and families, and when I look at this, if I can generalize results across a timeline, and I start looking at personalities, and, you know, that's another thing, I look at this, the whole personality types, and I look at those who are having problems really understanding who they are as a person, it became somewhere in childhood some bad experiences became part of their life, and they were never able to overcome them, and they became these same issues that then took away from their creative nature of who they are as adults, and they're still living in the past of that hurt.
Exactly.
You know, and you can't just say, hey, 30 years, get over it. Life moves on.
Right.
And that emotional scar, it go, you know, I'm just, it goes so deep. And it's just,
it goes so deep.
And I'm trying to figure out, how do you help people, you know, just get through that? Because, I mean, I look at some of my, some of the things I experienced, I guess I was able internally, and then, you know, I guess into my belief in God and just all these things together, I was able to work through it.
Yes. I think, you know, you have to have that internal strength. And then also, I do think a connection to God or the divine is really helpful, because it sort of brings you out of that. It brings you into the larger picture, you know, and even the larger potential for healing. Yes. I work a lot in the healing field, and when I find that when people have some sort of belief in that higher power, they're able to hand some of that pain over and not try to, you know, hold it themselves.
Right. I think the other part of that, too, I believe that purpose, you said it earlier, and I think when I start thinking about creativity, when you start to, you know, it's really interesting that the former Archbishop Desmond Tutu had one of his famous statements. He says, you know, the two greatest moments in life, one is when you're born, and two is when you discover, when you figure out what you, when you discover why you, what your purpose in life is, or why you were born.
Wow.
You know, and you go, yeah, because, you know, that's a great moment. And I think for me, the second great moment, when you discover what you were born for, your purpose in life.
Yes.
It just, money, you know, I look at all these things that were driven by externally that they no longer matter. And now, you know, they're saying, if you find something you love and you do that, you'll never work a day in your life. And then you go, wow, I'm getting paid for this?
Right. I think that is so true. And I think a lot of kind of even the families that you serve and the situations you're talking about would potentially be healed if the individuals involved understood themselves as creative beings and as powerful and as able to create and make a life for themselves. They wouldn't, some of these crises wouldn't even be a question, because they would take their energy and start channeling it towards their higher purpose.
Well, you know, and too, in your book, you talk about, and then since we're talking about framework at a young age, developmental, I think about in education, if you, you know, you got to get people young, you got to get them young to, and I love, I always love the phrase with the famous psychologist, B.F. Skinner always said, you know, give me a child at birth and I can make them whatever. You know, because their mind is blank, and I'll, you know, it's a blank slate, and I have the opportunity to make it whatever I want it to be. The same thing, but in your book, you talk about early imprints can affect creativity. I mean, I think we're talking down that line. Maybe you may want to touch on that.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of like, where are we intervening? You know, I think that's like one of the things I do in my practice. Yes. I serve a lot of mothers, and so I talk to them a lot about the imprint. And I talk about the imprint they may have and how to work with that.
Yes.
And because when you're an adult, you have to take responsibility. It's like whatever was done, but you don't have to live with whatever imprint you got. So that's where it's your responsibility to work with emotional intelligence to get the healing and begin to change your trajectory if you're carrying a wounded imprint. And many of us do. And, you know, and you can learn from that. It's not permanent damage. It's like we were talking about. You can learn a lot of creative skills by doing your healing work, you know. So
yes.
That's the adult. And then the parents, you know, it's wherever are we intervening. And I spend a lot of time talking with parents about how to engage that creative energy of their children. And I feel a special place to talk about boys just because I think that boys are more easily shut down in their creativity. I just feel like there's more permission for girls.
Right.
To stay creative and be creative. And maybe also we miss, this is where we talk about maybe masculine and feminine differences. We sometimes miss where the boys are being creative and emphasize that. So like I was saying with my middle son, who he's kind of very traditional boy, sports oriented, and I see his creativity, so I really engage him on that level. I don't dismiss it. And I've had several conversations with women, whether they be teachers or counselors, where I feel like they're, because they haven't maybe done their own internal work to understand that sort of wordless zone,
yes,
that boys particularly operate in. I've had countless conversations where I say, you know, he is being creative right now by doing that, and he is trying to get you to see that he's being creative, but he's not saying it directly.
Right.
So if you want to nurture that in that,
yes,
for example, fifth grade boy as a teacher, just give him a tap on the shoulder, just give him some eye contact or notice that he's being creative right now, and he'll grow stronger in it.
Right, right. Yes, that's good. I mean, I have a question for you. It just kind of popped in my head. There's a person that I've known for years that I've had a chance to do some work with, and she's a great grandmother now. And there were some tragic things that happened as a child, and
mm-hmm.
she became a mother and had multiple kids, and so I saw some of that same issues then kind of carry into the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, she wants to kind of, and then had a husband who prematurely passed away
mm-hmm.
from cancer, but he was part of the issue, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
all this stuff
mm-hmm.
was so bad. And now she's, you know, a grandparent, and when I talk with her, I'm saying, hey, and so she's kind of bound by certain
mm-hmm.
areas and can't leave out environments because she goes into fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
this phobia
mm-hmm.
of space and proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can do this. And it's
right.
I'm saying it on one hand. And I say, well, let's start taking steps. All you got to start taking
mm-hmm.
the baby steps
mm-hmm.
so you can rewire, so you can
mm-hmm.
see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. and I get, mm-hmm. no, the pushback, you don't understand. I've been like this all these years. Why now? I'm not going to be around that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, well, enjoy the rest of the years you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're asking me, what do you do in that case?
Yes. I'm kind of
yeah.
going to give a scenario
yeah.
around that. It's just,
you know, I know. And we all have probably family members or, you know, situations we can relate to where someone's really stuck. You know, I think one thing is do what you're doing, where you're just being that positive force and encouraging, you know, maybe bringing in some resources, whether it be a book or something of that sort of
yes.
power that one has to change one's life. I think the other thing is accepting sometimes that people don't want to change, and that's their choice
wow.
too. They may only be, I think the one thing about changing these patterns, it's very possible to change all kinds of patterns, but one has to have the courage to go in and maybe work with some of the emotions that are stuck, because often these imprints are from childhood where we had big terror or pent-up anger or deep hurt, you know, so it does take courage to go into that. Not everybody's going to sign up for that. And then what I tend to do with that is I would say prayers for her, you know, hand it over to the divine, and that's where I have that real spiritual faith. And it's sort of like you encourage the best you can, you offer and you give guidance, and then, you know, say prayers on her behalf that she may overcome that, that she
yes.
may find a greater range, that she may be in her true capacity, may she understand that she has the freedom, may she heal on that deep level. And I don't think you can ever do harm in that way, and certainly only bring great benefit by giving that those blessings on someone's behalf.
Wow. That's good. That's It's good information. And for our listeners out there, you know, we've all have encountered these type of scenarios. And so that's what I like about this show, where, you know, we're always able to bring insight and information that is, you know, I always feel that can help, you know, to inspire, to educate individuals and, you know, help families continue to move forward, to continue to grow. Uh-huh. Well, then my next question for you then, Tammy, would be is, how is creativity related to manifesting your dreams? I mean, that's, you know, here's the other side of that spectrum. I'm like, well, it's like, you know, wow, I had dreams when I was a child and I was going to do this and do that. Now I've had a family and it's squandered. I go to work and back and forth and now I've lost it.
I know. And I think, you know, there's a lot of busyness in our world. And so what I find, and I started talking about this and writing about it because I was seeing it in my own life and in my own practice with mostly I serve women, where they didn't feel like they had time to ponder anything but the day-to-day hustle, you know? And so it just, but then they'd be unhappy and sort of feel off track. So I started pondering this and really making a practice for myself where I nurtured the dreams. And in my case, I see it as a visionary for the family. So I really can kind of see ahead the whole picture of maybe where we're headed, you know, when we need vacation time, who needs what appointment, how's everybody doing overall, are we getting those creative juices flowing, everybody. And so I the practice that I do includes my whole family just because I'm in a family mode. So you could do it as an individual. And so I sit down every year in spring and I set intentions, kind of like you would. We talk about this for companies, right? Setting, you know, setting 1 year goals, 5 year goals. And I do this, and my husband and I talk about this, but I tend to be the one that actually does the process just because that's part, you know, the role that I play in our family.
Okay.
Sort of this sort of visionary of seeing everything. And so setting down intentions. And the first part is you have to actually make space for finding out what are your dreams. And it's just the question you were asking. You know, there's got to be more to this. And I think, too, conversations with my brother really inspired this, too, because he followed very much the career path and the money path. And if you just follow the career and the money, you know, other things get left by the wayside.
Yes.
And that deep satisfaction can be really soul-killing if it's lost. You know, if you don't really get that, my sole purpose, what am I doing? Because ultimately, everyone has to answer that.
Yeah.
So part of it is asking those questions and sitting down where you take a piece of paper, you write in your journal, and you just have a conversation with your lover. But you really sit down and say, well, what are my dreams? What are they? Where are we headed? Where am I going? What is the journey? And you start putting that down, take it really seriously, as seriously as you take everything else, you know, the 501k job trajectory. Really, where are you on a soul level? And so the first part of that is making space and contact for that. And then the other part is when you engage your creative energy, however you do that, and that can be diverse. You know, it can be gardening, it can be hiking, it can be fishing, it can be writing, it can be on the sports field, it can be wherever you really come alive, making space for that. So you have these intentions on paper, kind of where are you headed, and then you make routine contact with your creative energy. That gives you that sort of, when we go into that creative space, we tend to be more expansive.
Right.
We tend to solve problems. Instead of just seeing the problems, we actually start to find solutions. We think outside the box. And so both those two pieces are essential. You've got to know what your dreams are and make space for actually tangibly naming them and then engaging your creative practice routinely so that you get into that expansive place where you start moving towards your dreams.
Right. That's good. That is good. I two things I think of when you're sharing it. I call it the we get into this as adults, this proverbial loop of nothingness, you know, life. And it's it's like it's an up and down, and it's very, I've seen it, I've been in it, it's depressing. I mean, you can see, like, I want to do this, but I'm doing this. I want to do this, but I'm doing this. And it's I call it the proverbial loop. And the other part, you know, as you're sharing, I call it the, you know, when you're breaking out of that loop, it's like living life on purpose. You know, living life on purpose. You know, it's not just living, but on purpose. Not with a purpose, but on purpose. You know, and you know, that's one of the things I try to in my own family. We talk about, you know, hey, we're not just living; we're living on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is your purpose? You know, what is our family purpose? And to get us out of that everyday life. Because one thing I realized too, as we matriculate from a young person as a kid to an adult. You know, we look at life a certain way. We it's more of, I call it the fairy tale, what life is. And then we finally hit the, we call it the real world. And you go, oh my God, I never knew. And you know, in our younger days, in our 20s, it's all about money. It's the 4K, you know, the savings plan and money. And then all of a sudden we get to a point, you go, wait a minute, I'm doing all this, but it has to be more to life.
Yes.
You know, and so it's like, so trying, my thought is, you know, how do we get, you know, teens and when they're starting to really starting to, as their brain is really developing, to learn that balance early on, to be to have that satisfaction throughout life. And it's
absolutely,
it's tough, but I believe it could be done.
I believe it too, and it does take rigorous focus. I think focus is essential, and I do think, you know, as much as electronics are giving us things that make, you know, life so much easier, we can manage more things, they are really a detriment to that too.
Yes.
So I, you know, one of the things I do is get my kids off electronics and focus more on the electronics tend to take you outside of yourself in the same way that linear track does.
Uh-huh.
So set it down, time away, where you're just kind of centered. And you might have to deal with your boredom or your discomfort or those things that sort of accumulate when you're distracted. But practice doing that. You know, it's being able to deal with that boredom and that discomfort and whatever feelings come up. But then you get through that muck and you get more into, okay, now what am I doing here? You know, and I think it's a practice. People can learn it at any stage. But if you have access to teenagers or you're working with them in any capacity, I think getting them to think critically and ask questions about where they're going and what they're doing is really important, and then getting them off of social media so they can have something. Where do you come alive? Where do you, and find that passion? And it may change as people go through different phases, but have a passion, have something you're doing. And if you don't have anything, go volunteer some time anywhere.
Yes, that's good.
Anywhere you go and volunteer in a capacity, you will learn things, you will grow, and maybe it will awaken a passion.
Right. That's good. Yeah, I cannot, you know, Tammy, I cannot believe that this, we're down to the last 4 minutes of the show. And it seemed like, where did the time go?
We both love this topic.
Yes. And hopefully, and our listeners did too, because I kind of got lost in my world here. I forgot that I was on the radio show here, and we're just having this conversation about life and kids and creativity, and I'm thinking in my own mind what things I need to do to continue to be creative. And we would do our listeners a disservice if I have a couple questions or a couple comments here from some call-in, from some of our call-in. And I'd like to read those real quick so we at least have those on the air, and maybe if you could speak them to them briefly.
Yes.
Because we do, we're down to, where are we at here? Got about, 3 minutes. Okay. In my opinion, true individual creativity has been minimized by our mainstream education system and further usurped by major media entertainment, sucking up our time. I am very excited to listen to this week's show, as I believe we have to start integrating creative concepts into the lives of our children as a valuable lifetime asset, not as an occasional pastime to keep them out of our hair. I think that was very fitting for the end of the show.
Oh, that just sums it up. that's more like a statement, and I would say yes.
And our last question that came in is, I bought your book last week, and I loved it. I am one of those people who was very creative and spontaneous in my 20s, and then just life happened. I now realize at 45 years of age how step and repeat daily routines have numbered me emotionally. Thanks so much for the great work. Your book is full of inspiration as well as structure to get us back on track and happier for making the effort. So that was more of a kind of kudos to you, Tammy.
That's beautiful, and I think that points out what is true for me. These aren't just, they're real strategies, and I do put a lot of them in Wild Creative because I have lived this, and I have gone from sort of stair-stepping in a linear path to creating my own business, my own practice, my own life with children and my husband, and there are real strategies to this, too, that can help the process, and Wild Creative is filled with those.
Well, you know, Tammy, as we're down to the last minute, I do want to get information out. If individuals want to reach out to you, if they want to get your book, if they need this powerful information, how can they reach you? Can you give us your information?
Yes, my website is wildfeminine.com, wildfeminine.com, and everything is there. My books, access to my books, my training, the work that I do, and of course, any bookstore. It's wonderful when we support our local bookstores, which are a source of creativity, and ask for the books to be there because I deeply value the space they hold in each community.
Yes. Well, Tammy, we have reached maximum. We have maxed out on time. Once again, this is our guest, Tammy Lynn Kent, and she can be reached at www.wildfeminine.com, and that's wild, wildfeminine.com. Thank you, Tammy, and have a good day.
Oh, thank you, Marvin, and thank you so much for all the good work you're doing in the world. It's really an inspiration. I really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith right here on LA Talk Radio.